Welcome to Shedding Starlight, your guide to the Kingdom Hearts mythos. This episode is a special one, as it's the finale of our Kingdom Hearts 1 season.
To celebrate, we'll be peeking through the keyhole and taking a look at hints for what the series has in store in the future. We'll be discussing a secret boss, as well as the longer secret ending.
If you're the type of person who likes to piece things together yourself, maybe skip this one. We won't spoil anything directly, of course, but sometimes when someone puts two jigsaw puzzle pieces together, you might realize the greater picture too early.
We'll begin with Ansem's 13th report. The first excerpt we want to focus on reads as follows. Where does the body go when it separates from the heart? If the soul remains within the body, is it still considered to be deceased?
Throughout the first Kingdom Hearts game, on the surface level, we assume that a person consists only of their heart and body. But this report implies they consist of a heart, body, as well as a soul. So let's discuss these three components of a person.
The component most focused on is obviously the heart. In media or superstition, souls are little orbs of light to represent someone's existence. But in Kingdom Hearts, that orb is the heart. We dedicated a whole episode to how hearts connect with one another. The hearts of Kairi and Sora show that someone can have visions of another person, and even inherit their memories. And there's Ansem, who is able to remain solely a heart for a long period of time. These situations tell us that hearts hold our memories, and that they allow us to observe and communicate with the world around us as ourselves. Our hearts are who we are.
While Kingdom Hearts talks over and over about hearts, bodies are only mentioned by Ansem occasionally. In the 13th report, Ansem further writes, "When the heart returns to the heartless, the physical form disappears." The physical form being the body. So for example, Ansem wrote his body was gone when he became a heart. And when Sora became a heartless, his body disappeared, but was restored again thanks to Kairi's light. When Kairi's heart went into Sora, her body disappeared temporarily, probably because her pure heart didn't technically go to the heartless. Instead, her body remained not quite dead, but still lifeless, just like the six other princesses of heart. And this fits with how else Ansem describes the body. Abandoned by its heart, a mere shell of its former self.
What's odd, though, is that while Kairi's body seems lifeless, it seems to still have her soul based on what Ansem writes. If the soul remains within the body, is it still considered to be deceased? This might explain why Kairi's body reacted when Sora reached out for her in Neverland. If her body isn't technically dead because it still has her soul, maybe her heart and soul connected in that instant, causing the body to flinch in reaction. When it comes to Sora and Ansem, it's probably safe to say their souls got restored at the same time as their bodies.
Now earlier, we quoted Ansem's 13th report. Here's a longer excerpt. "A being that is neither darkness nor light, belonging nowhere, abandoned by its heart, a mere shell of its former self." The words mere shell are very interesting because it's what the Hollow Bastion secret boss, referred to as Unknown, describes itself as. "I am but a mere shell." It seems this hooded figure is what Ansem writes about in his 13th report. Something of neither darkness nor light, belonging nowhere. A being abandoned by its heart.
The other thing we wanted to discuss this episode are the secret endings, specifically the longer one called Deep Dive. Much of these cutscenes currently make no sense because we have no context yet, but there are a few things we can make sense of, so let's discuss those now. First, we once again see Sora at the grassy plains we saw at the end of the game. He's standing at an intersected path, hence why fans call this place the Crossroads.
After Sora, we transition to two characters in a city, both wearing the same black robe the Unknown secret boss wears. They get into a fight sequence, during which we see tons of text flying all over the screen. Like we said before, some of these are meaningless without context, so let's go over the ones that reference things we have previously talked about.
Ansem's other report, quote, "A creation born of ignorance." This could possibly be the World Terminus passage we've discussed. However, a creation born of ignorance is not mentioned in that passage, so we don't yet know the connection between Ansem's other report and this statement.
Behind the darkness does not equal door to the light. We've talked before about how even after the door of darkness opened, which led to Kingdom Hearts, Sora still has yet to open this door to the light mentioned twice in this game. So this text might further imply that the door of darkness and door to the light are two different things.
The secret place. The name of the cave in Destiny Islands where the kids would scribble on the walls.
A world between equals a forgotten world. Also referenced in Ansem's 12th report, this again seems to refer to places between the realms of light and darkness, like the end of the world.
The third enemy equals nobody. Quote, "Who is nobody, you ask? They are the non-existent ones." Ansem's 13th report also states that these beings don't exist. As for them being the third enemy, it's unknown if the other two are the Heartless, Ansem, or the League of Disney Villains.
Heartless, quote, "You are the source of all Heartless." We've covered how Ansem invented Emblem Heartless, and that pureblood Heartless were probably very rare before his experiments. So this quote could be in reference to him.
Change, the third key. The World Terminus passage references two keys tied to the Door of Darkness. While it seems to be implying there's a third kingdom key, it probably refers to the Keyblade of Heart. However, it's unknown how this connects to the idea of change.
End of the world. Quote, "This is the world in its true form." We left out some other random phrases attached to this, but there might be a connection between the end of the world, a place filled with the ruins of worlds, and the world's true form, which could mean when the world was still whole. That, or it could be referencing Hollow Bastion specifically, since it was almost completely overtaken by pipes.
Paradise. We've talked previously about how Ansem seems to have wanted Nirvana, not Paradise, so maybe this Paradise is something different from Ansem's goal.
After all this text, we see Mickey holding the Kingdom Key D, but he's also wearing the black coat reminiscent of the one the unknown secret boss has. Two other characters also in this outfit speak on a dark beach similar to what little we saw of the Realm of Darkness. Besides Mickey, we know next to nothing about all these different characters in these black hoods. Maybe the two in the city are the same ones on the beach, or they could be four different characters altogether. Either way, one of the characters on the beach might be the secret boss at Hollow Bastion, as the two say similar things. The unknown secret boss says to Sora, "You remind me of him." And the one on the beach says to the other, "I went to see him. He looks just like you." So Sora seems to resemble this other character on the beach. Ansem's 13th report tells us that when a heart leaves, the body and soul may still act together as a, by definition, non-existent being. Whoever these mysterious hooded characters are, perhaps they are the key in understanding what this nobody is.
Welcome back, everyone, to the discussion section of Shedding Starlight on our last topic episode of the season. Mel, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling tired.
Yeah, we're both feeling tired. It's a lot of work running this podcast. Not, you know, nobody else does it like us around here.
I know. So, I need you people to know that I don't use AI. I don't use ChatGPT.
No.
I don't take excerpts from Wiki. We write everything ourselves, and it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. And we edit everything ourselves, too. Ugh. It's a two-man operation here at Shedding Starlight Incorporated. So, like, you know, we did 8 episodes in a row just for you guys, and we plan on doing more. But speaking of which, I guess I can talk about this more at the end, but we are going to be taking a 4-week break. I'll talk about it more later, but we are going to be going on break soon. So we'll talk about it at the end of the episode. So if you want to stay for a programming note, stay for a programming note. But we just talked about some secrets to the future. And I think this episode is going to be called Secrets Beyond the Keyhole.
Yes.
Ansem's 13th report. Is that right? Yes. I think that's the episode title we came up with.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Which, oh my gosh. So I guess we'll get to emails when we get to emails. But last episode, I forgot to say that we're also discussing the secret ending. And I was like, shoot, I should have mentioned that in the episode, because if someone had any questions about that, they weren't able to email it in because they didn't know we were going to talk about it. So I think
I think some people caught on, because I saw some people asking if we were going to talk about that in the YouTube comments. They didn't have any like specific questions really that we were going to talk about, but well, I think some people did catch on. So that's good, at least.
Okay.
But yeah, so we just kind of went over some things in Ansem's 13th report that we would like you to look at and remember for the next installment in the Kingdom Hearts series, which we will be covering soon.
Yes. So one of the things that we talked about in this episode is this topic of souls. And
yeah.
Souls, me and souls, you know, that movie Soul, not that I have beef with the idea of souls in Kingdom Hearts, but it's just, they're just so mysterious. And yeah, like, even by today, like with all of the current Kingdom Hearts games that are out, we still know so little about souls. So like, for example, like we talked about how with hearts, it seems that hearts are like, okay, I think it's, who is the author of Narnia? What's his name? C.S. Lewis. I think C.S. Lewis said, hopefully I'm quoting the right person, said, you don't have a soul, you are a soul, and you have a body, right? I think he said that.
Yeah.
And with Kingdom Hearts, to me, would be like, you don't have a heart, you are a heart, and you have a soul and a body. And that's kind of what I tried to express in our episode about Heartless and like the definitions of like being of like you spawn a pure blood Heartless, but you kind of become an emblem Heartless because your heart is still in that emblem Heartless, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like, but my point is so if hearts are like our identification, if they're like who we are, and bodies allow us to like interact with the world around us in a physical way and kind of influence the world around us in a physical way, like, what is the role of a soul? Is the soul just to say whether definitively we're alive or not? Is that the only point?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what my brain kind of comes to, because like, what else? Like, it's kind of hard. I don't know. Nomura must be on like a whole separate plane of existence and thought on this, because like, those are the two, like, in my mind, and I feel like in most people's minds, there's like the spiritual part of us and there's the physical part of us. So that's like only two things, and those things are covered. So it's like hard to kind of distinguish it in that way. But also, it's tough for, I feel like, new people just in general, because whenever you're talking to someone who doesn't really know about Kingdom Hearts and you're trying to explain it, people use like the heart to say like, oh, you know, the concept of a soul, that's the heart. Like, people use that interchangeably to represent like how we understand things, at least in the Western world here. So it's confusing and it's hard to kind of wrap your head around. And Yeah, it's just, it's mysterious, and I wish we got some more definition to it.
Yes, especially because what you were saying earlier with, you know, Nomura being Japanese, we got a few comments that pointed out, thank you for, you know, I do appreciate this type of input, that pointed out that with Japanese culture, there's like a physical heart, and then there's the more spiritual or emotional type of heart. And those are two mm-hmm. different words in Japanese, but in English, it's the same word. And I don't, like, I do appreciate that input, but I feel like it's not that hard to understand even without the Japanese context completely. Like, yeah. I don't know, when I was a kid, I understood that, like, yeah, Sora or Kairi lost her heart, but I understand that her body still has a pumping organ delivering mm-hmm. blood to her, all her vitals, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think with Kingdom Hearts in Japanese is very, I have a love-hate relationship because one, I am kind of learning Japanese, but I'm right now in a hiatus. I had to like put it on the back burner. But one of the reasons why I wanted to learn Japanese was for the more recent Kingdom Hearts title, Union Cross, because Union Cross, it's over now, but at the time that it was coming out, it would kind of release episodically instead of all at once. And so if you learn Japanese, you could kind of get like ahead of the curve because it wouldn't release in English at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to learn Japanese was to kind of like, okay, well, if I'm going to love Kingdom Hearts forever, like I might as well understand the news as soon as it comes out in Japan and not wait for, you know, like Gold Panner. Gold Panner's a really iconic, famous Kingdom Hearts translator.
Shout out.
but like, my point being is that with Union Cross, I feel like it was important because sometimes the official English translation in Union Cross, I'm like, oh my God, thank God they translated it that way. That makes so much more sense. Like, God mm-hmm. bless. But then other times I'm like, I actually am glad this fan translator translated this because this mm-hmm. helps me understand that. So, I mean, I got into Kingdom Hearts like around the time that Days came out, I want to say 358 over 2 days. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't there when Kingdom Hearts 1 had just come out, or Kingdom Hearts 1 Final Mix, you know, so mm-hmm. there are things that are involved with Kingdom Hearts, you know, like I'm sure Kingdom Hearts 1 has its own set of, this was translated weird, just like Union Cross has.
Right.
Like, for example, a lot of other fans pointed out that Mickey was, we talked last episode about, you know, who was that mysterious voice? And they were like, well, it's definitely implied to be Mickey because it has the yeah. same speech patterns as his. And I want to bring this back later, but my point is it's with Kingdom Hearts, it's kind of hard to, like, what is the line between, okay, this is really going to help you understand this, and what is the line between that and this is, like, trivia? Like, did you know? Did you know in Japanese? Da-da-da-da-da. Because
yeah.
it's blurry, it's not so black and white, but I personally have a hard time telling, like, which is which.
Yeah. So, just to kind of relate myself to this situation, I have been a fan of Kingdom Hearts since Kingdom Hearts 2 came out, but I have not been involved in the fandom. I didn't know about a lot of the games coming out as they were coming out as I was growing up. First of all, because I kind of had a phase in like junior high, high school, where I was like, video games are lame, blah, blah, blah. They're for boys, whatever.
You were real. You were real for that. You were right.
but also I didn't have like cable TV. So I didn't get a lot of like kids commercials for like kids programming and stuff. So I just didn't know about a lot of the games coming out. So I kind of just, when I say like, I know Kingdom Hearts 2, I fucking know Kingdom Hearts 2 because that's the only game I had. That's the one, we bought Kingdom Hearts 1 after Kingdom Hearts 2. Mm. And so I only recently played all of the rest of the games. And so like, I didn't grow up with the fandom as much as Mel has. And they have seen this landscape transform over time yeah. since days. So I really trust you with everything that we do here. But yeah, so like it's, I'm in a very weird spot of like, I am an old fan, but also a new fan. Like I've known about the series almost my entire life, definitely for a majority of my life, but I'm still seeing things in a new perspective with all of these games and everything. And so it's, I kind of derailed the conversation here, but like it's interesting to have both of us kind of look at this at the same time. So like we did get corrections with Mickey last time, and we do appreciate that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
We really do.
Especially because, like, so I just, like, straight up never knew that about Mickey. Like, I never knew that the speech patterns in the beginning matched Mickey's speech, right? Mm-hmm. And there is something, when you were a Kingdom Hearts fan for years and years, there's something, like, exciting about learning new Kingdom Hearts info that you didn't know before. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I want, sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to, this was the reason I brought all this up, is because I remember going on YouTube back in like 2006 or 5 or whenever Kingdom Hearts 2 came out, because we couldn't get this, the secret ending of our own, and being like, oh my gosh, this looks like it's gonna be Kingdom Hearts 3, oh my gosh, next year, like that sort of thing, and it, like, then just hearing nothing about anything for the, you know, next 15 years or however long it was after that. But yeah, anyway, I derailed again, but go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
That's okay. With you being, with you and your history of Kingdom Hearts, does it frustrate you, or do you not really care when the Japanese and the English kind of align or not align?
I like,
or is that not even really like on your radar?
Yeah, I mean, Japanese is not really on my radar because I have so much info to still, like, just in the English, like,
yeah,
just to,
yeah, I agree,
you know,
that,
take in and try to understand. So, like, I feel like I need to, that's part of what this podcast is me trying to understand all of this, like, at a base level. Mm-hmm. And I think you said somewhere the other day when we were talking, being able to understand something is being able to explain it simply, which I kind of want to be able to do.
Yeah,
because that's such
Einstein
a good
said that.
When you truly understand something, you are able to explain it simply, and so like that's where I want to get. And I feel like people who already have that understanding are the people who are searching out the other sources to see, you know, what the Japanese says, if it's the same translation, if it's the same meaning and all that stuff, so they can understand it to a deeper meaning. But I'm still,
that's a good point,
beginner/advanced, so I need to get there first. But it is interesting learning tidbits like that, because like I was able to bring that perspective last episode about like, oh, maybe this could be the princesses talking to him, because it seems like not a lot of people, you know, look at it that way anymore. But like, you know, back when that came out 2002, we wouldn't have access to the Japanese translation. Like, the internet was not the same back then.
You would have had to buy, like, paper guides at your local GameStop, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's, I'm in a very interesting position. But I do appreciate all of the veterans we have in our YouTube comments and our emails and everything. Because it is helpful. In that sense.
So, anyway, I promise we're talking about souls and secret ending stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, if we were going to talk about this on any episode, this is as good. You know, you all watched season one of Shedding Starlight. Now you get the lore on both of us. So, like, you stuck here long enough to figure all that out. So, might as well have it going forward. but, yeah, it's just, this concept is weird. It's a weird thing that there's both a heart and a soul that are both spiritual things that are not the same thing.
And you know, so right now I'm going to make a note. So for those of you who don't know, I have a big document full of future episode ideas, and it's all organized by game title. So I'm going to add one for a future game, because once again, I think this will be the last time I bring this up. I swear to God. Well, actually it won't be. Okay. I'll bring it up two more times, this time included. But I think with the understanding of, or the topic of how Kingdom Hearts is seen, the game series, not the energy, let me say that, not the big thing that Yensa wants, so that I don't spoil. But I think from the perspective of when you're familiar with Japanese culture, I do think Kingdom Hearts is even more meaningful, or it's meaningful in a different way. So I'm going to write a note for a future game right now to bring this up in like a year or two when we get to the same title.
Okay. So speaking of notes that we wrote down, we were actually, during Kyrie's episode, we thought of something, Mel thought of something to talk about that we kind of forgot about until just now, until I was reading the script. And I remembered that we were going to bring it up. Pinocchio. Pinocchio is a weird little guy that has a weird little role in this game. Because I was playing through the modded version of Kingdom Hearts that I've been playing on stream. And I got to the point of Monstro. And Riku is like, I kidnapped this puppet so we can bring Kyrie's heart back to life with a body or something like that, something along those lines. Mel, what's up with that? What can we steal a body from a puppet and put a heart in it and then it's Kyrie again?
So I think rather than like using Pinocchio himself, I think Riku was more interested in the, at least this is my, let me preface this, this is my interpretation of the scene and of the lines, because I think Riku was like, this puppet has a heart. Maybe it can help Kyrie get her heart back. I don't know why I said Kyrie's name like that, but
so yeah, I don't think remember it was the line.
More like Riku wanted to study Pinocchio and see if learning how Pinocchio came alive can help him restore Kyrie, rather than like using his puppet body and like
gotcha.
Yeah, but I love that you brought him up because. Gosh darn it, past me, what were you thinking? I wish I wrote him into this script because, you know, we've talked about how hearts are what let you see or what let you feel. They're kind of like how you emotionally interact with the world. So it seems that Pinocchio has a heart, you know?
Yeah.
But the question is, does he have a soul? Can he die? Can, I don't remember if that's like any of the plot of the future movies of like, Pinocchio can die, or if he's just like a puppet forever, like doomed for eternity until he like burns up or something. But like, I don't know. I think that's so interesting to think about, is this idea of like, okay, Pinocchio has a body. He has a heart. Does he have a soul? Did the little starry fairy lady grant him that as well, or what? So I don't know, but I think that's so interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool concept to intertwine with, like a Disney concept you can really use. I think they probably had, you know, some sort of, they could have used him to illustrate more what these things are and the differences, because he is a puppet and then turns into a real boy. And like, I don't know. I feel like it's cool that they did use him to this extent. That he's involved in the story.
Not gonna lie, I kind of forgot Pinocchio does become real at the end of the movie. In my head, he was just a puppet forever. So, okay. It's not AI artificial intelligence.
Did he come back a puppet again at the end of the movie?
No.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen Pinocchio. All of my knowledge of Pinocchio is through osmosis. But, but yeah, I feel like they could have, like, if they wanted to, teach us a little lesson about how the world works in this universe. They could have used him even more to kind of illustrate that, because we don't see him transform. We find them when they are in Monstro, obviously. So like he's already undergone the transformation, right? He's not a puppet when we meet him. Am I getting that right, or am I wrong?
No, he's still like a puppet who moves around in Monstro.
Okay, he wants to be a real boy.
Yeah, but I can't remember if, because I know what happens with Kingdom Hearts 2, but I can't remember as well with Kingdom Hearts 1. If Kingdom Hearts 1 has kind of epilogue cutscene credits.
Right.
Of like showing like all the Disney characters after the story. But I don't think Pinocchio becomes a real boy in Traverse Town at any point. Because at one point, him and Geppetto end up in Traverse Town.
Right.
But I don't... Gosh, I wish I could remember. This seems like something I would know, but I don't. I don't remember if he becomes a real boy in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it's just interesting. It's a smart choice that they chose to include him out of all the Disney properties they could have used. Yeah. But... He could have been used more. That's my criticism. I don't care. But just, you know, a point to be made. But yeah, very interesting.
So I wrote, when it comes to Sora and Ansem, it's probably safe to say their souls got restored at the same time of their bodies. And I wrote that really casually in the script. But, like, I recognize that that's, like, weird. I recognize that, like, Sora just suddenly getting his soul back. Which, like, granted, we've talked about how in Kingdom Hearts, the soul doesn't seem to be as, like, vital, or at least have that as big of a role as a heart. But still, the idea of souls just being restored when their bodies are restored, you know, I recognize that it's weird, but, and there might be more going on here that we're aware of. It's just, unfortunately, just with Kingdom Hearts 1, we can't dive more into why that is.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I wanted to talk about was, so we went to, you know, changing from the idea of souls and going into the secret ending and all the weird random text that it throws at us, like, what does it mean? Mm-hmm. One of the things that we discussed was text that says change and then the third key, and how I talked about how this is probably in reference to the two keys being the kingdom keys.
Yeah.
And that, like, maybe this is implying there's a third kingdom key, but I think it's probably the Keyblade of Heart or that Black Goth Keyblade. But that we didn't really understand how this relates to the idea of change. But now that I've written that script and I've kind of come back with a new refreshed mind, I wonder if this idea of change is at all relevant to the idea of the princesses of hearts coming together and changing into that black keyblade, because that is just something that is just so coconuts to me. Like, even to this day, with all the things that you see in Kingdom Hearts and all the bullshit, like, I still think hearts combining and forming into a keyblade is just coconuts. And maybe that is kind of the change that this third key text is talking about. That's what I think. But I could be wrong. You know, it's just my interpretation. But.
And its ability to change a person, like Sora using it to change into a heartless. I don't know.
Yeah. I can see that. Because they said, yeah. I think that's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just... I don't know. I don't know nothing about nobody. So, speaking of all of the weird text that gets thrown at us at the end, I just wanted to challenge one of your interpretations. The one specifically, the end of the world, this is the world in its true form. And I watched the actual ending, and I know that there's some other text around that I think is not super illuminating,
right,
to what more of this context could be, but I just wanted to, I think your interpretation was the true form meaning when the world was still whole, but to me, when I read it, I was kind of like, well, this could be Ansem wanting all of these worlds to fall to darkness, so, like, could it be that? I don't know. I just, that's no, me I putting think- my two cents into the universe.
I think that's a good point, because he really does believe that, like, the original state of hearts is darkness. Every heart returns to the darkness whence it came, you know? Yeah. And so I could see that. I could see that this is the world. And it's... my only thing would be, like, I can't think of a situation where Ansem was like, you know, when you say this is the world in its true form, then I would expect that, like, I mean, maybe he... because, like, the weird thing about these texts, I'm just going to be straight up, is that when these texts do eventually get their context, they're not always said word for word. They're kind of like...
yeah.
it's almost like two different people translated a line of Japanese, where it's like,
yeah,
one person phrased it this way, and then another person later down the line phrased it another way. And mm-hmm. so that's the kind of the tricky thing about talking about these texts and these sentences and phrases, is that, you know, for all we know, that this is like a direct line from Kingdom Hearts 1, or it's a direct line from a future Kingdom Hearts game. But me and Hannah don't know, because yeah. we're only getting the weirdly translated English versions, you know? Uh-huh. So, gosh darn being English.
It doesn't stop here. It's going to keep going for a long time. You're going to get a lot of confusing text for the rest of the series. So get used to it. But yeah, I'm interested in this last point, Mel, that you have down here. I'm interested to hear what you have to say about it.
Okay, so with the context of like talking about this secret ending and how some things don't make sense, I'm once again going to be upfront and just say that even way down the road, with all the games that we know right now, some of these lines, some of these texts still do not make sense and don't relate to anything, at least on like a surface level. But I've had a theory like the last 8 years, and I swear to God, it's only becoming more prevalent. And it's not a theory in the games. It's more like a meta theory, where I think until like 2012, Kingdom Hearts 1 was kind of overall forgotten and just kind of like left there to collect dust.
Mm-hmm.
But when they had to go back to Kingdom Hearts 1 in order to remaster it and re-release it, I really do think that Nomura took a bunch of notes and was just like, okay, you know, since we're going back to Kingdom Hearts 1 and I have to approve a bunch of decisions, I might as well take notes about what I think is interesting and bring it back. Because ever since 2013, I want to say, Kingdom Hearts 1 has been coming back in very interesting ways, in ways yeah. that you wouldn't have expected, where all these things that were left to collect dust starts getting expanded upon and like referenced again. And so my point being is that in this secret ending, yes, a lot of it doesn't make sense, but I still wonder if even in the future, with games that aren't out yet, if any of these texts will still be brought back and like brought into realization and
yeah,
made into a thing. And if that's the case, I'm like really excited about that, especially because, so once again, I said I would bring it back again. This is the last time I'm going to talk about it, I promise. But with Mickey's voice, and how I think one of the reasons why I didn't think it was Mickey is because it didn't make any sense, especially with what we know about Mickey and in the future and like his abilities and like his knowledge. Like, I was like, how the fuck can Mickey talk to Sora in his dreams? Like, that yeah. was dumb to me, right? Mm-hmm. And so even now with Kingdom Hearts 1 kind of coming back and being explained more, I wonder if this is something that Nomura has in mind. And if he's like,
yeah,
eventually I will explain how Mickey was able to talk to Sora in his dreams, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be really interesting.
And I want to say, if you're listening to all these episodes and know that the series gets a lot more complicated and are maybe on the fence about continuing, I would say try to stick around, because like the way that stuff comes back is really cool and jaw-dropping, and
yes!
like it's so like, it's honestly some of the coolest like story threads. Like, I don't want to get into any specifics, and I don't want to a term that me and Mel and some of our friends use is like anticipation spoilers. Like, we don't want to say like, oh, we don't want to tell people how to feel before they feel it, because that kind of ruins part of the experience. But like, the way that it seems like some of this, like exactly how Mel explained it, it really builds and builds and builds and builds and builds, and then builds on the stuff that it built after this. And like, it kind of got not lost, but like far away from this for a long time. And then after, what, 25 years now, it's all coming back to the start. It's crazy to watch. It's crazy to watch like evolve and change. And then, I can't recommend it enough. It's so cool.
From my perspective
as an old slash new fan, it's like, it's crazy. It's like, it's cool. And I don't even want to say any more than that. But like, it's worth it, is what I'm saying, basically.
And if you're listening and you're a new Kingdom Hearts fan, not to like, you know, like, keep listening in. But one reason why I do think you should listen in is because, you know, it's one thing to experience a game revelation after a game's been out for a handful of years. That's like one, because that's something you're kind of just like, okay, I'm late to the party and I know everybody's already been talking about this. But like when a new Kingdom Hearts game comes out, and you all experience it together, and you all get to react to it together, it's like, it's incredible. I love it.
I'm going to get that for the first time with the next upcoming game, which is Missing Link. So I'm excited for that. I did get it a little bit with Dark Road, but I like that's in between Dark Road and Missing Link is where I finished the series. So like I'm excited to be I'm there for the first time now.
Welcome.
Like since like 2005 or whatever. So like I'm excited. But yeah. Yeah, keep with it. It's worth it.
So, speaking of fans, we have some emails. So first of all, we got an email from Lucas. But unfortunately, Lucas, we won't be able to answer some of your questions because it's not quite relevant to this episode. But either way, Lucas, I'm so sorry, but we did get your email and thank you very much. So like I said, I kind of forgot to mention that we were going to talk about the secret ending. So we didn't get any emails about that. So I'm so sorry if you have a question and we're not able to answer it. But we did also get an email from Adrian. Hello, Adrian.
Hi, Adrian.
Okay, Adrian, I'm going to rephrase what you wrote a little bit, okay? I hope that's okay with you. In the 13th report, Ansem talks about nobody and talks about them not existing because of the self residing here. Why do you think Ansem ties the self and existing to Hearts and Heartless and not the said hypothesized nobody, which has more of the whole? Because it has, you know, I'm assuming because it has the soul and the body. Does Kingdom Hearts 1 establish the heart as the center of self? So that's, you know, that's kind of what we've been talking about. Like, I don't want to say this is factual, but it seems to me, and how I interpret the series, that the heart is the center of self, and that is kind of who you are. So hopefully in our discussions earlier, we kind of answered that for you well enough, Adrian. Okay. So with Adrian's next question, bless their heart, they kind of get into a little bit of spoiler territory, I think, without meaning to. But basically, Adrian is asking that if you know, Ansem writes about how bodies disappear, but Kairi and the other princesses of hearts and their bodies remained kind of like pretty statuesque in Hollow Bastion when their hearts were taken and put into that black keyblade. So why is that? I think it is because the fact that they are princesses of heart and their hearts did not, I don't know why, but for some reason, because their hearts did not go to the Heartless specifically, that kind of changed the way that their bodies react to the situation and their bodies did not disappear like Sora's did, for example. So we might be able to explore that more in the future, but unfortunately, that's just the case, and we can't really get into why, even though I think it's very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting. Adrian's last question to us is, what are your feelings on the naming of the Heartless and quote-unquote nobody? The name seemed to be more metaphorical than literally descriptive at first glance. They even seem to be reversed.
I mean, like, my first thought when hearing this question is that, I don't know, I think it's cool as fuck. But that's just because, like, the 2000s Kingdom Hearts emo scene version of me from my past, it's like, I just think it's, like, poetic and ironic and, but, like, weird, but mysterious. Yeah. Like, I don't know, I love
it. It's cool that
I like these names because they are both literal and metaphorical. They are both concepts and literal meanings. So, like, heartless are, like, beings that don't have hearts, mostly.
Yeah.
They are heartless, but also heartless is a synonym, or a synonym, is that the right word? It's a different meaning of, like, someone is, this thing is cruel, this thing is mean, yeah. this thing has no heart, because yeah. it does not feel. And same thing with no body, but, like, in Ansem's description, the nobody is the body, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a little backwards, but also, like, the concept of, like, nobody. Like, you are a nobody. You are not worth thinking about.
What is that one Greek legend where somebody, I think it's Ulysses, and he's, like, harassing a giant, and the giant goes, who's there? And Ulysses just says, like, nobody.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fuck, I just read the Percy Jackson book that talks about that. Hold on. Fuck. Cyclops, nobody, Greek story. Odysseus.
Oh.
Odysseus and Polyphemus, yeah.
I love it. That's basically what we're dealing with here. And honestly, yeah. I kind of live. Yeah. I kind of live.
Yeah. It's cool to have the double meaning like that. And another example, if just me being nerdy, another example I want to share of that is that there's a show that I think is maybe one of the most perfectly named TV shows ever. But there's a show called Transparent, which is about a parent who becomes transgender or who is transgender. And it's also about their relationship with their kids and how they're dealing with that. So, like, the parent being transparent as a person, but also a trans parent. It's so cool.
That
it's
is like, a good name.
It's great. It's a good show, but I haven't watched past, like, season one. But anyway, just another cool example. Like, that sort of thing. It's cool to have a double meaning.
Yeah.
With that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's cool to, you know, translate that through multiple languages and have it work at least super well in English. I don't know what the exact names are in Japanese.
Yeah.
But it's cool that it made its way like this here in this language.
But yeah, exactly. I think they're great names. You know, Adrian writes, they seem to be more metaphorical than literally descriptive. But I think in a way they're descriptive as well, you know?
Yeah.
They're just, because, like, you know, we talked about that weird boss at Hollow Bastion that describes itself as, like, a mere shell. And so, like, to me, like, that almost seems, like, so frail and so hollow and so empty.
Yeah.
That, like, is that even, like, a body? You know, because bodies have bones and structure.
Organs, yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, organs and blood vessels.
Yeah.
You know?
Skin
I don't know. I think Heartless and Nobodies is a really cool fucking name, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah. All right. Well, is that it? Is that all we got?
I think so. I think that's all we got. All
right. Well, that brings us to the end. So in order to say sorry about not including the secret reports, or not sorry, the secret reports, the secret ending for this, Mel is going to personally respond to every email that's sent to our email with questions about the secret ending. Aren't you, Mel?
Yes, I am. Cross my heart.
But yeah, that's all we got. So that's it for Shedding Starlight Season 1.
Woo!
Let's freaking go.
Woo-hoo!
We did it.
We did it.
Amazing. So this isn't going to be the last thing we post for this season. I think next week we're going to be releasing a little summary of everything we went over. It's not going to have a discussion, I think. I think we're just going to do a little script and then present it to you guys. And then we'll be done after that. And so, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, after that episode goes out, we're going to be going on a little bit of a break for about a month. So, Shedding Starlight will be paused for about 4 weeks. I think we're going to come back mid-April. With our next game. Mel, what's our next game gonna be?
It's gonna be Chain of Memories. I'm gonna have to replay this shit.
Because, like, Chain of Memories is one of those games that if I want to quote-unquote revisit it, I just watch the cutscenes on YouTube. Yeah. But, like, I want to make sure I'm not missing anything. I want to make sure I'm doing, like, a little bit of research, you know?
Yeah.
So, either I'm gonna play it myself or I'm gonna watch a playthrough, but
yeah,
I'm gonna have to do some research.
So yeah, we're gonna take some time to get those episodes ready, so we'll be off starting in like a week and a half as of us recording this right now, and then we'll be back mid-April. We should be back mid-April,
hopefully.
And then yeah, we'll be back with Chain of Memories. I don't know if Hannah, we can what.
We literally have a podcast. Isn't that crazy? I know!
We literally have a podcast and we finished the first season, Mel.
Woo!
Oh my god, I can't believe it. So, what we're going to do for now, I don't think we're going to tell you quite what our first discussion topic is going to be because we still need to nail those details down. But I think what we're going to ask you to do is if you have just any questions in general about the series, maybe not like gameplay or anything like that, but like if you have lore questions about anything at all in Chain of Memories, send them to us and then we're going to sort them based on the topics that we already have. And then if there's something that we're missing, that way we can figure out to make an episode on that.
Yes.
So sheddingstarlight@gmail.com, your questions about Chain of Memories, and we will go from there. Yeah, I think that's it. Incredible. Mel, do you have anything else? Do you want to say anything to our wonderful, amazing, lovely, beautiful listeners?
I'm so thankful. I know I've made that joke before where I just go, I'm just so happy. But, like, I really am so thankful. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, it would have been so disheartening making this podcast and not getting any questions.
I know. Oh. You guys have pulled through. Like, it's great. We're honestly very happy that, like, we have the engagement that we do with all of you, with our audience that we've built already.
I was looking at emails, and I just noticed that, you know, we get, like, repeats. We get people who come back and just, you know, are just so excited each week to have their own inputs. And I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm glad we have some regulars, some regular writers in from you guys, and that's really cool. I'm very excited to have that, and I'm very excited to build. So speaking of building an audience, if you like the show, be sure to rate it 5 stars, rate our whole season if you want, or just the episode that you listen to, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you write something nice, we will read it. And then if you like the show, be sure to tell your Kingdom Hearts friends, because I know that you have some, tell them in person and recommend us to them, send them the link, you know, subscribe on YouTube, all that good stuff. Like the video. I got to do my influencer bit a little bit after every episode because that helps grow us. So yeah, I think that's it. We're going to miss you guys for the next 4 or 5 weeks. But yeah, thank you all so much for listening once again. And we'll see you in the starlight.